experiencing a personal failure you weren't expecting? Listen to Adrian Rogers.
When people fail, they generally don't fail at the weakest point. Most fail at the strongest point. If you were to look at the life of Simon Peter, what would you say that his strongest point was? It'd have to be courage. Peter was the one who drew out the sword and went after the servant of the high priest. That took a lot of courage. Peter was one who got out of the boat to walk on water. Peter was a man overloaded with courage. And where did he fail? He was the one who trembled before a little teenage girl. That's an amazing thing. He didn't fail at his weakest point. He failed at his strongest point. Peter wept bitterly over his sin. And there was a new day for him. And there can be a new day for you.
Welcome to Love Worth Finding. Pastor, teacher, and author Adrian Rogers said, failure doesn't need to be a hitching post to tie us to the past. Failure can be a guidepost to lead us into the future. Isn't it interesting that our most devastating failures take place in our strongest points? Perhaps that's why these missteps are so hard to move past. But God's not finished with us in the dark nights of failure. His mercies are new every morning. If you have your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 22, look at verse 31, as Adrian Rogers reminds us that failure is not final.
Would you take God's word and turn to Luke chapter 22? And as you're turning, let me ask you a question. Do you believe in giving a second chance to people? Well, you say yes. Well, to all people. What if your pastor were to curse in front of a teenage girl? Would you forgive me? What if not only would I curse in front of a teenage girl, but what if your pastor were to deny the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that I have preached for so long? Would you forgive me? You say, well, I don't know. I think I'd be finished with you. Thank God, God would not be finished with me. There was a man, his name was Peter, who cursed and swore and denied Jesus in front of a teenage girl, and God was not finished with him. His name was Simon Peter. You know the story, but let's read it here from Luke chapter 22 and beginning in verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, that is, Jesus said to him, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Well, what I want us to learn tonight is this, that failure is not final. God is a merciful God, and his mercies are new every morning. Peter failed. He failed miserably. But in the story that we're going to study tonight, we're going to find out that there was a new day that dawned for Simon Peter. Some of you tonight have failed. And you just wonder, is there any hope for me? You see, even when we fail, that does not mean that God has finished with us. And it does not mean that when we fail, nothing has been accomplished. We can learn from our failures. And failure doesn't need to be a hitching post that ties to the past. A failure can be a guidepost to lead us into the future. Now, I want to remind you that Peter was very sure that he would not fail. Look, if you will, again in verse 33, Peter said, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. But notice the little word I. Let me spell two words for you. Sin, S-I-N, pride, P-R-I-D-E. What's the middle letter in both of those words? I. I is the middle letter in sin and in pride, and that was Peter's problem. There was a big I right in the middle. Lord, I will go with you both to prison and to death. Now, he was very confident. He was not hypocritical. His problem was that his confidence was misplaced. What you see here when Peter said, Lord, I'm going to do this, was dedicated self. Now, the Bible has never told us to dedicate self. We're to deny self. And let me tell you something very quickly. If you don't learn to deny self, before long you will be denying Christ. Amen. Now that's what happened to Peter. Peter is full of self. He didn't know his heart. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." Actually, that means the heart is incurably wicked. That's what the word means. Desperately wicked, incurably wicked. There's nothing you can do with the self-life to improve it. Your heart is deceitful above all things. Every now and then a man will say, "Well, you know, if I know my heart," and then he begins to say something. Very frankly, you don't know your heart. Your heart is a Jacob. That's what the word here means. Your heart is a Jacob. It is deceitful above all things. Now, when people fail, they generally don't fail at the weakest point. We would think they would, but most fail at the strongest point. That's the reason they fail. It's they have confidence in their strongest point. If you were to look at the life of Simon Peter, what would you say that his strongest point was? It'd have to be courage. Courage. Peter was the one who drew out the sword and went after the servant of the high priest. That took a lot of courage. Peter was one who got out of the boat to walk on water. Peter was a man overloaded with courage. And where did he fail? He failed at the point of his courage. He was the one who trembled before a little teenage girl. That's an amazing thing. He didn't fail at his weak point. He failed at his strongest point. Abraham. What would you say that Abraham's strongest point was? His faith. Abraham was the father of the faithful. He was justified by faith, and he is the dean in the school of faith. But if you study his life, when Abraham failed, he failed at the point of faith. He went down to Egypt rather than staying in Canaan where God had placed him, and he lied about his wife, Sarah, in order to save his own hide. And why did he do that? Because he could not trust God to get him through that situation. What would you say Moses' greatest strength was? Well, we don't even have to guess about that. We know his greatest strength was his meekness. The Bible says he was the meekest man that ever lived. Meekness means the ability to comply, to be taught, to be led. But the meekest man, Moses, failed at his point of strength, and Moses became a murderer and killed the Egyptian, hid his body in the sand, and Moses spent 40 years on the backside of the desert because he failed. He failed not at his weakest point. He failed at his strongest point. David. What would you say David's strongest point was? David's strongest point was his integrity. He was a man after God's own heart, a man of integrity. And yet, where did he fail? He jettisoned his integrity and sacrificed his integrity on the altar of his lust. And one statement from Oswald Chambers that I have learned from and shared with others through the years is this: an unguarded strength is a double weakness. Here was Peter's strength. Peter said, "Lord, I will go with you to prison and to death." And yet he failed at that very point because it was dedicated self. Again, I remind you, you dedicate self, you're going to deny Jesus. Amen. Deny self, and you will enthrone Jesus. Amen. When self is on the throne, Christ is on the cross. When Christ is on the throne, self is on the cross. But both cannot be upon the same throne. So Peter failed, and he failed because of that self-confidence. And what a lesson that ought to be to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12 says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Now you may say, "Pastor, you're going to talk to some of those failures tonight. Thank God I'm not one of them." The proud man tempts the devil to tempt him. And by the way, the devil will entice you into sin. He'll cripple you and then blame you for limping. What the devil does before you sin is this. The devil will say, "Go ahead and do it. You can get away with it." And then after you sin, he says, "You'll never get away with it." Now what he does, he will entice you to sin, and then he will judge you for that sin and blame you for that sin. He'll come first as the tempter, and then he will come as the accuser. Well, Jesus had said to Peter, "Peter, before the cock crows, you will three times deny that you even know me." Now, the night is the night when Jesus was betrayed by Judas. It was right after dark Gethsemane. And Jesus was led away to a mock trial and soon to be crucified. It was probably the worst night of Peter's life. And Peter is there through that long night, the worst night that he's ever had. And he is warming himself at the fire of the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ, following Jesus afar off, when somebody picks up on Peter's accent, his language. They can tell that Peter is a hillbilly. Peter's from Galilee. And people talked about Galilee in that day the same way they talk about Southerners today, the way we talk. You know, we have some, can I use the word Yankees here tonight? Yankees. And they don't understand how we talk down here. We say, y'all. Now, y'all, that just means one person. Y'all come see us. It doesn't mean everybody. If we want to talk about more than one, we say all y'all. They listen to Peter. Somebody said, "You're a Galilean. Your speech betrays you. Once, twice, thrice, Peter denies that he even knew the Lord Jesus Christ." And then he hears the rooster crow. Now, when that rooster crowed, not only was that a reveille, it was a revelation. Peter learned some things in the crowing of that rooster. And what Peter learned is the title of the message tonight: failure is not final. If you fail, and you have, or you will, or you are, thank God there is hope for you. When the rooster crows, it means a new day is dawning. And the Bible says of our Lord that His mercies are new every morning. There are three things I want you to learn about the crowing of this rooster. Three things that I pray God will write upon your heart. Number one, when you fail, in times of failure, we need to see the sovereignty of Jesus. Now, does that word sovereignty bother you, or does it give you trouble? It's because we Americans don't have a sovereign. The word sovereign means king. We have presidents. But in the Bible, Jesus is King of kings, Lord of lords, not only in the Bible, but in all eternity. He is sovereign. That means He is Lord. Now, if you fail, get your eyes off your failure and get your eyes on the sovereign Lord. Now, let me explain to you why I'm talking about the rooster showed him the sovereignty of Jesus. Look, if you will, in chapter 22, beginning verse 60. And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." That is, he's denying the Lord. "And immediately while he yet spake," this is the third time he denied the Lord, "immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew." The rooster crowed, put it in plain English. "And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice or three times." Now, what is the interesting thing that deals with the sovereignty of God in this passage of Scripture? That rooster crowed at the exact precise time. Now, friend, that is nothing less than a miracle. Two things I want you to try. One, I want you to make a rooster crow. Number two, I want to see if you can keep one from crowing. What our Lord had to do was to keep every rooster in Jerusalem from crowing at all until that exact, precise moment, exactly immediately after Peter had done what he had done, then the rooster crowed. Roosters are funny creatures. They think because they crow, the sun comes up. They're really just an alarm clock with feathers. That's all they are. But here's so interesting. That rooster crows, and then the Bible says Peter remembered the word of the Lord. And when Peter remembered the word of the Lord, Peter had to remember this or had to think this. He's still in control. You know what Peter's problem was? Why Peter was filled with fear and why he denied the Lord? Things had gotten out of hand. I mean, look at it. Here his Lord and Master has been betrayed. He's been falsely accused. He has arrested. He's been carried away. He is bound and mocked and forsaken. And it's all coming apart. Where's God? And what Peter learns at this moment when that rooster crows is that our Lord is still in complete control. Nothing has gotten out of hand. You know, the Bible prophesies the Lord Jesus in Psalm 8, and here's what it says of the Lord Jesus, who is the perfect man, verses 6 and following, "Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, and the fowl of the air." What is a rooster but a fowl of the air? "And the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea." Our Lord has never laid down his dominion. And even when he was crucified, Jesus said, "No man takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself." Now, what had happened to Peter was this, that when everything unraveled, it turned to doubt, and doubt turned to fear, and fear turned to denial. And what Peter is saying and seeing here is that Jesus Christ is still in absolute, complete control. May I give you a definition of faith that is not mine? I have learned it, but it is a great one. Faith is believing God in spite of appearances and obeying God in spite of consequences. Now, if you make notes, write that down. And by the way, if you don't make notes, why not? Really? I mean, you expect to hear anything? Would you go sit in a college class and not make notes? The weakest ink is better than the best memory. Now, listen to this. Faith is believing God in spite of appearances. What happened to Simon Peter was the appearances said everything is out of control, and obeying God in spite of consequences. Peter was afraid of what might happen to him had he followed the Lord closely, and so he failed in the faith factor. And maybe that's where you fail. Well, if that's where you're failing, remember the sovereignty of the Lord. I have a motto on my desk. I look at it frequently when I'm preparing sermons, when I'm thinking, when I am planning. Somebody had it made for me. It says this, "Adrian, trust me. I have everything under control." Then it is signed, "Jesus." Don't you like it? Adrian, trust me. I have everything under control. Do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus has everything under control? You have to believe it. When you read this story and see that rooster crowing at that exact precise moment, and not another rooster crowed in all Jerusalem until that time. Now, we may deny him, but he is the sovereign God. Put this verse down, 2 Timothy 2, verse 13. "If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself." Peter denied Jesus, but Jesus did not deny himself, and therefore Jesus did not deny Peter. He is the Christ of sovereignty. He's still in control. That's the reason I love Romans 8, 28. "Then we know that all things work together for good to them that love God," amen, "who are the called according to his purpose." Amen. What are all things? Peter's denial was an all thing. Peter's cursing was an all thing. Did you know that God makes all things to work together? Did you know that God will make your backsliding work together for good? Backsliding is not good. And if you backslide, you're going to suffer. Peter wept bitterly. It would have been far better had he not done it. But Peter's failure did not cause our God to fail. Say amen. Amen. Jesus did not fail. Even though Peter denied him, he cannot deny himself. Our Lord was an absolute sovereign control. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, Peter, Satan has desired you that he may sift you as wheat. Now that phrase, has desired, literally means he has asked permission. Did you know that Satan had to get permission to sift Peter? Satan has desired you, i.e., he has asked permission. And the Lord gave him that permission. Satan had to get permission to afflict Job. And the Lord allowed him that ability. The point being this, God has Satan on a leash. Don't get the idea that Satan can do anything to you he wishes. He cannot. But what God allows it, and if God does allow it, God will allow it for a greater purpose. And you're going to find out that God will use the enemy's weapon against the enemy, just as David cut off Goliath's head with the sword that Goliath had. Now, in times of failure, we therefore need to see the sovereignty of Jesus. Got it? Okay. Now, here's the second thing. When you fail, not only do you need to see the sovereignty of Jesus, but in times of failure, we need to see the sympathy of Jesus. He never stops loving us, even though we fail. Look, if you will, in verse 61, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he'd said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. What was the look? Was it a spiteful look, a hateful look, a vindictive look? No, it was a look of injured love. He's looking at Peter. He's still concerned about Peter in the midst of his agony and pain and humiliation. Our Lord has his eyes upon his backslidden disciple. I've often told you that Jesus does not change you so he can love you. He loves you so he can change you. If you are a failure, he still loves you. But now listen very carefully. He loves you as you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. His love is what changes you.
And we'll hear part two of this important message coming up tomorrow. But maybe today you have questions regarding your faith in Jesus. We'd love to offer an insightful resource on our website, the Find Answers page. There you'll find resources and materials that will answer questions you may have about your relationship with God. We also invite you to check out our Grow Your Faith page, where you can get grounded and dig deeper in the Scriptures. Go to lwf.org/radio and click the tab that says Grow Your Faith or Find Answers. We can't wait to hear from you today. Now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message in its entirety, you can call us at 1-877-LOVE-GOD. Mention the title, Failure is Not Final. You can also order online at lwf.org/radio or write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. We're so glad you've studied in God's Word with us today. Make sure you sign up for our daily Heartbeat emails. You'll get daily devotions and message links sent straight to your inbox. Find out more at the website, lwf.org/radio. And join us tomorrow for the encouraging conclusion of Failure is Not Final, right here on Love Worth Finding. Here's what a listener said in a recent survey on our website. I feel like I'm growing in my spiritual journey daily as I've enjoyed hearing, reading, and obeying God's Word through Love Worth Finding. You know, our mission is to help believers grow deeper in their faith through the timeless teaching of Pastor Rogers. And to thank you for your gift right now, we want to send you our insightful new resource, the What Every Christian Ought to Know Mentoring Tool. This daily study is structured to keep you rooted in God's Word, nourished with a short devotional, and then challenged with application steps. Follow along with a friend and experience new spiritual growth together. Request this booklet, the What Every Christian Ought to Know Mentoring Tool, by calling us with a gift right now at 1-877-LOVE-GOD. Or you can give online at lwf.org/radio. Thanks for your generous support of Love Worth Finding.